Take evasive action. Green group, skip across the holding sector and get shot.
Admiral, we have enemy ships in Sector 47.
It's a trap.
Good evening, my friends, and welcome to a already problematic episode of the Space Game Junkie podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Space sausage. What?
Yes. Sausage. And we're both, apparently, Jim and I, are having internet issues with Time Warner. Jim posted some pictures of outage maps on the Space Game Junkie Twitter. And yeah, both Los Angeles and Raleigh, North Carolina, which is where Jim and I are respectively, are having issues.
Yes. So it looks like a hurricane map, actually.
It really does. Or an earthquake map.
Yeah, except LA doesn't really get the type of hurricanes that we do. So.
No, we get fires and we get earthquakes.
What if there was like an earthquake tornado full of sharks from space? No.
That'd be one hell of a ride.
So what is this that you're streaming there, sir? That's some Independence War One.
Yeah, you can see it. Good. We tried to get Klingon Academy running in multiplayer, but we couldn't. Maybe, you know what? I bet you it's the internet problems we were having.
Oh, you know, it might be. So
I bet you. So we should try that later.
We connected. We were in the lobby, but when we tried to launch the game, it choked. And it could also be like some of the bandwidth stuff that I've got set as well. So we might have to both, that's a thing. We might have to set identical bandwidth settings.
What is that?
You go in there and you tell it how fast your internet is, right? So I slammed my slider all the way over because, you know, I live in the future. But back then it was like, you know, are you on a dial-up? You got some DSL, you got some whatever. Cable modems like over in Infinity Land, right? So if you didn't move that slider, you probably had your network set to like turbo shit. So that's probably why. We'll try it after the show.
You'll try it. Or maybe tomorrow or something, depending on how this goes. I'm actually quite excited about this episode because I love capital ships. I do. I mean, Star Trek is what got me into all this stuff in the first place. So I love the big boys, the big girls, as you say. So
like big butts. What?
Yeah, I like big engines, and I cannot. I like big exhausts, and I cannot.
Oh God, tailpipes. Yeah, what?
It's terrible. It's terrible. So this week, to kind of wash out the stink of Bridge Commander, we're going to talk about other capital ship games and what makes a good capital ship game, how it's different from a fighter game, you know, what are some of the best ones, what are some of the worst ones, what are some of the upcoming ones. So you might recall last week we played Star Trek Bridge Commander from, what was that, 2002?
Something like that, 2002, yeah. 2003.
And it's kind of crap. The bridge stuff is crap. The tactical combat stuff is kind of crap.
It's not good.
It's
almost passable, but not good.
Yeah, it's not. So thanks to, I can't even say his name. I'm not going to butcher his name, but thanks to a gentleman, thanks to a fan, I'm not even going to try and butcher his name.
It's Molyneux. It's Peter Molyneux. Like,
it's not. Oh. It's got umlauts, and I'm not even kidding. Thanks to an intrepid fan, he has created patches that get Klingon Academy from 14 Degrees East in their play, which came out 2 years before Bridge Commander, got that to work on modern systems, which is great because over the years I've tried to get Klingon Academy to run like a dozen times. Nothing. Never. Ever since XP, never worked.
Yeah.
You know? But we finally got it running. And holy fuck, what a great game that is.
It is pretty fantastic. I'll give it that. I would say, see, I've been ranting for a long time that I want a space submarine game. I just want to be in the ship. I want to have different crew stations. You know, I want to be able to go over and work the radar or whatever. And you should be able to, like, cloak, which is, like, dive in the submarine, right? And, yeah, just that. Well, as we get into playing Klingon Academy, because I haven't touched it in you know, how many years, right? So since
2000
when it came out.
I
played it for a little bit then. I don't know what was going on in my life that I didn't like this game then. I don't know. Maybe it was like I was playing a lot of Free Space 2 and Klingon Academy. It was maybe because of all the menu stuff. I was just like, man, I can't really do this because you have to like go through so many menus to get to the things. So for whatever reason, I didn't dig it. However, now I'm more mature and jaded and grumpy, and I kind of dig it now, right? So because it is definitely you have the different stations of the ship across, you know, numbers 1 through 9, and whenever you hit a number 1 through 9, then it pulls up a menu of what you can tell the crew member. I really do wish that it was voice acted. That would be so great.
Voice activated, you mean?
Well, both. But I wish that there was some audible response back whenever you tell them to do something.
There sometimes is, like ship scanned and things like that. So sometimes is.
But not, you know. But but in Sub Commander, which came out in 2001, they actually did have voice activation. You could say, like, make turns for 20 knots, and they'd be like, 20 knots, aye, sir.
Really?
Absolutely. That game was so way ahead of its time. You could completely talk to the game, like, hands off the keyboard, talk the game through playing itself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Anyways, if this game had that, perfect.
Well, you can do that with external programs. Like, there's one right now that a lot of people are using for Elite called Voice Attack, which apparently is excellent. But back in the day, I had one called Game Commander.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I actually had it set up for all the – if you never played Klingon Academy, it's got a very detailed – they call it the Voice Order system, I think, or Voice Order something. It's VOD or VOS. And you can give very detailed controls to each bridge member. And you could actually take over their station, too, if you want. So you could tell the helm, you know, set course for this system, warp factor 9, and it's 3, it's like 2, 4, 7, and that's what does that, you know, or 2, 4, 9 or whatever. And you have very detailed control over your crew, which is a huge difference from a starfighter game where you just more power to engines and more power to guns, you know? It's so much more detailed, but that's one of the big differences between capital ship games and fighter games is crew management. And while some games have it, like Rules of Engagement has it and stuff like that, Klingon Academy just that's one thing it excels at because of this order system.
Yeah, it's like one of the only games that really does it this deep, if not the only.
I think it might be the only. Honestly, I can't think of another game that gets that detailed into giving your bridge crew orders like that. I mean,
there's like games that if you're not in the station kind of goes on autopilot. Independence War 1.
Yeah.
Right. But the computer's never quite as good or whatever. Right. So in Klingon Academy, do your crew people actually gain experience and get better as the game goes on or no?
Yeah. See, here's the thing. Like, if you look at the debriefing for each mission in Klingon Academy, you will see the crew level, and it starts at green. So I'm guessing it increases as you go on.
I would say that that's a definite indicator that they're doing that. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very cool.
This makes me want to get out freaking Sub Commander again too, man. Although that game nasty graphics.
Well,
it runs in like 640x480. Only.
It's surprising how good, I mean, with the widescreen thing, too, it's surprising how good Klingon Academy looks.
Yeah.
Right now. It really does. And one thing, guys, if you don't have Klingon Academy and you have any interest in capital ship games, you can dig up a copy for $20-$30. It's seriously worth it because, one, it's got a great story. I mean, it takes place a year or two before Star Trek VI, and it's got Christopher Plummer, and it's got David Warner, and Michael Dorn's in there. And Kevin Richardson does some voice acting, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good voice acting, a lot of good acting, great story. But the tactical gameplay is just superb.
And if you should happen to acquire it in digital form from somewhere, it's going to be on 6 CDs, right? So there's 6 CD images. If you crack those open with, say, 7-Zip, you can extract all the files, stick them in a single folder, and then you don't have to swap disks when you're installing.
Oh, really? Right. So even if I have the disks, I can do that?
Yep, absolutely. Just,
oh, that's good.
Just rip all the crap off the disks and jam it in the same folder. It'll keep telling you, you know, there's like 11 files that are redundant. You know, do you want to overwrite them? Just keep overwriting them, and, you know, you get to the end. And that's how I did it, was just I pulled all the files off the disks and then ran it out of a single folder just to see if I could. So,
oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. In other great victories today, I got MechWarrior Mercs running.
That's fabulous. Awesome.
Yeah, running that's like in high res. It's crazy.
You have to tell me how you did that, because I love that game.
Yeah, well, it's that whole mech tech thing that they had as a download. Although I don't think you can get it directly from them anymore, but it is still archived out there. And of course, it was free, right? So perhaps I'll check it out, because I was actually talking to the guy who's the marketing director for HeavyGear.com today. And he was also because MechTech is the people that are developing that, who used to do the MechWarrior expansion stuff. So they have all rights to it. So I'm going to run it by him, just be like, dude, can I just host the files? I'll just stick them up on, you know, MechGameJunkie.com. Just put it there, right? With the instructions for how to get it to run again. But I think that's the deal. I think that's what's going to happen. We're going to make it happen.
Can you do that when you're using Blogger?
Yeah, absolutely. Stick it in your Google Drive. Pow.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. But anyway, so yeah, we're both on kind of a high this week that we got Klingon Academy running.
I am a little.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, no, the other day I was like really tired. And the other day I was really tired. And so I was going to make some videos for the site, but I'm like, I'm too tired. So I just played hours of Klingon Academy. Just getting used to the controls again. And
how many missions did you get in? Scrimmages.
I'm only three in the actual campaign.
Yeah, that first mission, dude, Trope City. So you have to shoot space mines, and then you're like scanning satellites, which is close to cargo containers.
Yeah.
And wow, they got the tropes out early.
The beautiful thing about Klingon Academy is it actually gives you moral choices in the middle of missions. Like, there's a later mission where you have two wingmen, and you come across a civilian civilian passenger liner. And one of your wingmen's like, oh, these guys are enemies. We should kill them. And one of your other wingmen's like, there's no honor in killing these people. And you have to make that choice as to whether you kill them or not.
Oh, but it's not like a branching mission system, right? So it's just, it just triggers later in the mission, perhaps?
I honestly don't know. I always didn't kill him because I just like there's no honor in killing innocent civilians, defenseless people. But the thing about Klingon Academy and why it's much better than Starfleet Academy. If any of you played Starfleet Academy, I'm really sorry because it's awful. The problem they had with Starfleet Academy is they tried to make a fighter sim with starships.
You know. Okay, there's
remember
a, there's a
remember
thing.
How,
let me tell you the significance of that statement that you just made. So on GameSpot, back in, was it 96 when that game came out?
95, 96, something like that. Yeah.
So I wrote a review on GameSpot in the public reviews thing, and Steve Bauman wrote to me based on the review that I wrote and was like, would you like to write for Computer Games Strategy Plus? And that is the day I became a game reviewer because of that shitty game. But the review that I wrote, it was titled like something like Capital Ship I forget what. It was like some kind of like, you know, Capital Ship should like have ballet and not be like break dancing.
Exactly.
You know, it was just like don't be fighters. You know, we don't dogfight. This should be like a slow ballet of death.
And that's what they did with Klingon Academy. They slowed things down. I mean, it's still a little dogfighty because you're using your joystick, but it feels a lot more naval. It feels a lot more tactical than Starfleet Academy. Starfleet Academy is just an awful game. It's probably, I think, one of the worst capship games ever made.
Well, yeah, in Klingon Academy, all the twitch is gone. Well, there's a little bit, but it's more like you have to think about what the ship's going to do because the ship is going to take a while to do it. So you have to kind of anticipate where you need to be going and what you're going to shoot at, and wait for, you know,
time
everything
shots,
to catch up.
Everything.
Yeah. And that's another thing too, is like, none of those weapons, I mean, maybe when you get into to different ships down the road, but none of the weapons in the, at least in the first ship, that bird of prey that they give you, they don't really fire that fast at all.
No,
and it has
a
lot to do with your power allocation too. And that's the thing that's huge in cap ship games when they do it right, is you have a reactor on the ship, and you just can't run all the lights in the house at once, right? So you have to choose, you know, what am I going to do? Because in a fighter game, it's like, okay, you got this power, and you can throw it to the weapons or to the shields or the engines. Well, in a capital ship, it's like, okay, we can do weapons, we can do shields, we can do engines, we can throw it to damage control. You know, we can put it into repairs, we can put it into like the sensors. Where all do you want to put this? Do you want to like overcharge your torpedoes? That's going to take some, you know, extra power, stuff like that.
And in Klingon Academy, you can do all that, which is amazing. You could turn, like, if you want to tweak your power so there's no power going to sick bay or security, and you put more power to sensors so your photon torpedoes are more accurate because it overcomes ECM. You can do all that.
And I always I never power sick bay because it encourages my crew to not get shot. So
you're Klingons.
That's right.
Why do you even have a sick bay?
Just don't even. Yeah, exactly. It should just be like a garbage chute straight into the engines.
What are you doing? You don't even need a sick bay. Put another reactor in there, damn it. We need more power for guns and shields.
Exactly. Shoot the corpses out the torpedo tube. Whatever.
Let the dead line the hallways as a reminder to those who think they should fall
with their purple goopy blood floating.
Oh wow. God,
that was so not good CG. Oh God,
It was really early. It was not. What was it? 91?
Was it that early?
Yeah.
Oh God, that was early. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. All is forgiven.
Yeah, exactly. That was really. Yeah.
In fact, you got Klingon Academy on the stream right now.
Yeah. I love how I'm dealing with a captured Federation base.
Yeah,
it's great. So yeah, those are some of the ways that cap ship games are different than fighter games, and that's probably why there aren't anywhere near as many of them as there are fighter games, because it's got to be a more difficult job to put one of these together. You know, it's got to be a much more difficult job because you got to model so much more, and you got to provide more a different type of situational awareness than if you're in a fighter. You know, and you have different, you know, it's not just shoot the other guy. You know, it's not just get behind him. You know, all the time, because starships have different firing arcs. You know.
Yeah. Oh, that's one other thing in Klingon Academy I haven't quite figured out. If you hit
gunnery chair.
Yeah, the gunner chair. You hit G, you go into the gunner chair. Can you control the ship while you're in the gunner chair at all?
Yes, you can.
Okay, because I couldn't, but I was playing with the keyboard, so maybe that's why. I get the joystick hooked up now.
I believe you can, but usually the best thing to do, I have found, if you want to use the gunnery chair, is give your helmsman an order to pursue the target.
And then you're using the gunnery chair to actually shoot dudes around you that's not the primary target.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's kind of a neat concept, right? But yeah,
I mean, I've used it a little bit, and it's neat. But I usually stay in the kind of the front mode. But once you get into bigger ships with more firing arcs, I'm sure that'll be more useful. But right now, I'm early in the game where most Klingon ships still have a front facing, especially the Bird of Prey. That's all it has, is a front facing arc. But the AI in this game is also pretty good. It's fairly challenging, though. You know, it is sometimes dumb enough to ram you. It's like, really, but yeah, folks. Seriously, if you have any interest in capital ship games, this is really one of the games to get. Unless you could deal with the really old graphics of Rules of Engagement, then that's another game you should look into, because that game is also amazing, though the interface is. It's kind of wow. It's kind of goddamn. But that's another game that has intricate systems and crew modeling. You know, like you have different systems and different stations and everything. Very Star Trek, you know, Next Generation look to it. So, So that those are some of the best, but let's talk about some of the other best that, like, one that I think a lot of people are forgotten about, unfortunately, that was really good with its capital ships. Remember Star Shatter?
Yes. Oh, yeah, Milo's game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Star Shatter had, I mean, in some ways, the capital ships you flew were kind of larger fighters in some ways, unless you got to something big enough like a carrier. But at the same time, I mean, it's probably one of the only sims I know of that has you going on a career from a fighter to a cap ship commander, from a pilot to a commander.
Yeah, can you just jump in and be cap ship commander right away if you want?
I don't think so. I think you have to start the campaign. I think you have to start the campaign as a pilot and move through the campaigns and get promoted that way. But I think once you get promoted enough, I think you can unlock them so you can jump into the later aspects of the campaign, I think. I'm not 100%. Because that game is hard, and I never got horribly far.
Oh.
Did you play the Star Shatter games? Because they were...
I played like a little bit of the beginnings of it. It was stuff.
They were very difficult. They were very difficult, but very, very fun games. But yeah, so that's another good one. And then, of course, we've talked about the Independence War series. Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot a Federation cruiser arrived in the middle of this mission, and I nearly shit my pants because I wasn't ready to handle a Constitution class. But, yeah, the Independence War series, the first one more than the second one. You know what I mean? Because the second one is kind of like you're flying a large fighter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they automated. They said in the manual, oh, things are so automated, now it only takes a pilot.
Oh. Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know. I mean, it's how big of ships did you get eventually in that game, though? Like,
I don't remember. No, you know what? I still haven't gotten past the tug.
Yeah, that's my problem. I was stuck in the tug. And I need to get it out and reinstall it and stuff. But it's like I've rebuilt my machine twice since we played that thing last. But, you know, it's just I hit a point of impasse in there where it was like the game started crashing on me and stuff. And I was just like, All right, whatever, time to move on. So, yeah, but I need to go back to that because that game is so damn good.
Yeah, I need to too.
So what other stuff do we have here? It's we were talking about Star Shatter. Oh yeah, Nexus, the Jupiter Incident. Another game that I need to play. I've got it. I bought it on GOG, right?
It's really good, and that's kind of more in the RTS vein.
Sort of, but it gives you a lot of stuff all over the screen.
Yeah,
to control.
It's very detailed, game. So I included that because it goes beyond other real-time strategy games and what it models in terms of ship control. So I thought that should be included because it's really a good game and not a lot of people have played that one, you know, which is a shame because it's really good. It's very hard. Oh my God, that game is hard. Some of the missions are so puzzly that I wanted to throw my monitor across the room every now and again because some of those missions are just goddamn puzzly. But that game is 8 years old and it's still gorgeous. It is still just a beautifully stunning game, you know, even 8 years later. Kind of like IWar 2. IWar 2 is still beautiful,
which is amazing. You're still beautiful, Brian.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I try. I need to go to the gym now. I need to work on that. I need to make myself more beautiful.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
However that went. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I think those are probably the best games like Klingon Academy and Rules of Engagement, where if you want to be a captain or a commander, and if you want to control an actual lumbering capital ship, those are probably the best games, Klingon Academy, Rules of Engagement, Independence War, and so on, that will give you that feeling.
Yeah, you know what else is awesome about Nexus, the Jupiter Incident, is it does have multiplayer.
So, yeah, it does.
So we need to fire that up and find out if it works. Not right now.
Oh, yeah. But, okay, you know. Yeah, no, not right now. But yeah, we should definitely do that.
Yeah.
I'd be down. I think Star Shatter has multiplayer too, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so Star Shatter, it's not in active development, and it was released out there, right?
Yeah, the LS, the source code, sorry, the source code was released a year or two ago, and they have released some stability patches for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same fervor around it that like Free Space does.
Yeah, they do have it on hard light.
Yeah.
So is that
yeah?
Okay. So that's like there's the full game, and then there's the Star Shatter patched EXE, and then there's a Star Shatter Reborn, which is an effects mod. So
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, but that's really it so far. But I mean, that game is pretty intricate because it's one of the few space games that also has a dynamic campaign, kind of in the same vein as Falcon 4.0.
Well, everything about that game was trying to be Falcon in space, which I loved before.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very detailed combat, very detailed ship systems. Even if you're in a fighter, you're still a member of a wing, and you got to fly in formation and stuff like that. But, yeah, very difficult game. Very challenging. Very even if you're in a bomber, which isn't as crazy as a fighter, it's still challenging. But really worth it. You guys should definitely track it down if you have any interest in
it's a definite joystick game. Must have joystick.
Oh god, yes. I should put that on my series of whether it can be played with a gamepad or not. That's one of my new series. But let's see. I think the worst the Capship games you talked about, they're both Star Trek games that I could find. Starfleet Academy, obviously. And do you remember Starship Creator?
I remember it only infamously, in that people have said, "Oh God, Starship Creator." Not that I ever had it, but yeah.
No, there were two of them. I don't even know why. The first one was awful. It was awful, and the second one was even worse. Oh God, I mean, it gave you the promise of,
You're making me want it more and more.
No. I mean, basically, it gave you the promise of customizing your own, Federation ship or whatever, and then taking that ship and its crew out on missions. And the missions were so – it was like choose-your-own-adventure book shit almost. Oh, God.
Was it like Yoda desktop stories?
That was more fun. I had more fun with Yoda and Indiana Jones. Remember they had a couple of them. They had Yoda and Indiana Jones desktop stories. I had more fun with that.
I wonder how come they haven't put that out on Steam for $20.
Wondering if Disney is like, wow, there's something here. Let's just put everything LucasArts.
Yoda stories really easily with just make it like a little
roguelike. Yeah, make it more of a roguelike than it was.
Exactly. Like Yoda, Jedi Rogue.
Yeah, why not? Because that aesthetic is in now. That kind of older 16-bit-ish aesthetic.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I enjoyed Yoda Stories, though. I played the fuck out of it back in the day. Much more so than I did fucking Starship.
Oh, it was out on the Game Boy, too. Really?
It was? What?
Yes. No. Somebody said that. Game Boy Color, Yoda Stories.
No.
Mm-hmm.
God, that'd be like a perfect portable game.
It would, absolutely.
Bring that to my Vita, Disney. Bring that to my Vita.
I would probably guarantee that I know someone that has the ROM. Someone that has a full collection of...
Now, it's interesting. Some folks might wonder why I didn't lump the Battlecruiser series in with the worst. And I don't know. I think they went through enough improvement over their various iterations that they're not the worst anymore. If it had just been the original Battlecruiser, yeah, absolutely. But they got better as they went on. I mean, they were never amazing. Sorry, Derek. I mean, you made some great games, but they're a little... obtuse.
I don't know. Wow.
They have detailed system modeling and crew management and all kinds of shit, but it was so hard to play. It didn't need to be that hard to play. Is that me?
Yeah, I sent you a little link on the Steam.
Oh, I can't see that right now.
You could if you clicked it.
No, I can't. If I take this out of full screen, everyone will see my desktop and
shit.
Oh,
yeah, and they'll
see monitor.
Porn and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I only have one monitor.
Dang it.
And okay. I've got the porn paused behind all right,
fighting. I sent you a link that is actually to the Game Boy Color Yoda Stories Tatooine level.
What?
Yeah. And I thought maybe you could smack that in the stream, but we don't want people to see that weird porn on your desktop, so it's okay. We'll save it.
Horses, man. I told you about horses.
Oh, God. You're a brony.
Yeah,
space bronies.
I really am.
I got a buddy at work that is legit. Like, he wears My Little Pony shirts to work and stuff. Has some My Little Pony vinyl things on his desk. And we give him a little bit of shit about it, but not nearly as much as we should. Yeah.
You know, it's a thing.
He has a pet horse, too. It's like a...
It's a good show. I mean, the woman behind the Powerpuff Girls.
And the man behind Q.
Well, he does a voice on it,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he does. That's the only person that I know that's on there. Well, it's him and Tara Strong.
Yeah, right? I was about to say, you know Tara Strong. Everyone knows Tara Strong.
I would like to know Tara Strong.
Mm,
a lot more than I do.
Well, that's... yeah.
Yeah.
But there are other Capship games worth mentioning that aren't, you know, great, but... all those, like, Star Trek text-based games, like Starfleet and EGA Trek and VGA Trek, those are pretty good.
Yeah, what about, God, what was the, oh, shit.
They weren't as detailed as, like, Klingon Academy here, but they were pretty detailed. What are you thinking?
I gotta Google it. Star Trek.
There were quite a lot of them. I mean, starting with the 1973
game. Oh, Net Trek, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, no, that was another one. Yeah, there were, like... I can think of at least a dozen iterations of that game, starting in with the original, like, 1972 version.
Yeah,
it was Trek 73, Super Star Trek, EGA Trek, VGA Trek, Net Trek, and just a boatload of others. So that's like six or seven.
Yeah, so Net Starfleet still kind of in development a little bit.
It's
still there, right? So.
People love that shit.
It's Net Trek XP 2009 version 1.
I believe it. Those were... Net Trek was great.
You know what's nice? Net Trek, back when I played it, was nasty graphics. And looking at the stuff here, it's like less nasty.
Wasn't it all ASCII?
No, it wasn't ASCII. It was damn near, though. It was like monocolored ships, like the Klingons were red, the Feds were green.
Yeah.
But now they actually put some kind of like next generation looking... graphics on it. Like, you can tell, oh, that's a Galaxy class, right? So, interesting.
Did you ever play the Lightspeed or Hyperspeed games from MicroProse?
I've seen the box in the store, but I never bought it.
Those are really great. You controlled this ship that was the size of Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was a huge ship, and when you flew it, it moved like a fucking pig in shit. It was the slowest fucking thing. But you got to also fly fighters out of it. So, like, you get to fly these fast little things, too. But, yeah, you actually had control over your engine room and shit. It was for 1990, it was pretty detailed for back in the day. And Hyperspeed, oh, God, I always get those confused. I think Lightspeed was the first one. And then Hyperspeed was the sequel that came out, like, a year later, which is almost pretty much the same game.
Hmm.
But that was a good one. I mean, those are good. They're not as detailed as like the Klingon Academy, for example, but pretty good.
Yeah.
I was confused about the Starfleet Command series. Would you consider those Capship games?
Absolutely.
Or more like
In fact, I was going to say we don't really have the main genre that Capship games show up in, which is RTSs, because RTSs are rife with it. Like Sins of a Solar Empire.
That's
all
true.
Cap ships all the time.
That's
and
true.
There's some cap ships that are more cap than others. But, you know, there's like those giant heroic things, and they got Titans in there now and stuff. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then, of course, the cap ship game of all time is EVE Online.
Oh, God.
I'll mention the evil. But
I guess that's true.
You can't have evil without Eve. So it's you know, I don't know, but they're changing. They're changing stuff, right? Because you're supposed to be able to take actual direct control of the ships now.
What?
Yeah, they're gonna allow.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if that's going to be like WSAD and fly that shit around or what, but they were talking about like the fighter game that they were working on when they were showing the Oculus Rift stuff and that.
And I think
that finally caught on, right? And it was like, oh yeah, we'll let you control the ship now instead of just various autopilot things. But I was talking to my buddy at work. He does nothing but play EVE Online. And I mean, seriously, nothing but play EVE Online. I think it's his second life, right? Like, but it's always like, he'll come in and tell me about like who raided who and where the borders are and like show me maps and stuff. And I kind of live EVE Online vicariously through him.
Yeah.
There's actually like a few people, like I work the weekends, right? So I don't see all the day shift guys through the week.
Right.
But on Mondays, we're all there. And, I'll go outside and I'm standing and, somebody will start talking about some video game thing. And then I tune in and it's like, oh, yeah, they're talking about EVE. And there'll be, like, 10 guys standing there talking about, like, what went down. And it's like, it's pretty popular, apparently. Not with me, but,
Well, that's the thing. It's really an amazing – in some ways, it's an amazing game. EVE Online.
Oh, it is. I just don't have the patience for that.
Oh, I do not either. I don't have the patience or the time. I mean, I already have a job. That's why I always say I already have a job. I don't need a second one that I pay for. which is what EVE is. I mean, it's what it does is really impressive. I mean, not even Elite Dangerous or likely Star Citizen will be able to model certain aspects of EVE, like the seamless universe and the complete sandbox that it is economically, diplomatically, all that stuff. It's really an achievement.
Yeah, but really, I don't want it to model all of that. I just want it to be what it is, right? Because EVE has just kind of too much going on.
It's a little too much.
And I want them to avoid all the... Okay, so if you let people get in there and you let them make like guilds, corporations, whatever like that, right? And then what's going to happen is you're going to have like goon fleet show up. If your game's any kind of good, then you're going to get like this giant group of people that come in, and you have to kind of limit the size of that because, they have like thousands of players. So if they decide that they're going to come in and completely wreck your shit, they will do it and nothing's going to stop that. They can kind of end the game for anybody. And I don't know, man, that's an influence that I just would not want to have. Can you imagine, like, in Elite, Goon Fleet just decides, like, oh, yeah, well, these 10 systems here, yeah, we're just going to kill everybody that comes in the gate. Yeah. Terrible.
See, that's one thing I love about Elite. I mean, the persistence of your character can be in the solo game, private game, or an open game.
Right, so you can drop offline and do what you want to do without... the half.
Exactly. So if that happened in the open game, well, fuck you. I'm going to my private game with my friends. And I think that's brilliant. I think that's 1 week away, by the way, folks. Oh my God. I'm terribly, that's all I'm going to be playing for the next week is that.
Yep. So, that reminds me of something because that conversation, I'm going to go full mech game junkie on you here. So the conversation that I had with the heavy gear guy today, he was laying some bombs on me, right? So, Heavy Gear Assault is going to be an MMO of sorts, right? So it's going to have like a Call of Duty kind of online play, like arenas and teams and stuff. They're going to not make the mistake that MechWarrior Online made of like, hey, we'll sell you like a $50 mech and that, right? They said there will be DLC stuff, but it's going to be optional. It's not going to be like required to continue playing the game, but it'll be like a booster or something to like convenience, not so much ability to do something. So, but he said there's going to be like an initial buy-in price and then there, nickel and dime stuff on the side, right? But he said that they're actually, are you familiar with the crafting system that is in like Team Fortress 2 where people make hats and stuff?
I'm aware of that, yes.
Okay, so he said there's going to be something kind of like that in there where you get like salvage or something from missions and then you can actually build it. But we talked about Armored Core, right? So where you do all the customization of the mechs and stuff. He said it's going to be crazy like that, like maybe even beyond that. And well, he said there's so much customization that you do that you're going to have to build the parts, right? You're going to have to afford them somehow. So, yeah. But he said, you know, you can trade parts with other players and stuff like that.
Well, with the Heavy Gear role playing game, the amount of that you can customize your mech is just astounding. If you want to, you don't have to go down that rabbit hole if you don't want to. But if you do want to, it is all fucking there for you, and it's really impressive. So I'm kind of glad to hear that. I'm still skeptical about the whole thing.
Well, one thing that they're doing definitely is they're embracing the esports community. Like, it's going to have Twitch streaming right in the game, and you're going to be able to, like, create a team, and then people on your team can group together and then go find another team to fight. It's not going to make all those mistakes like MechWarrior's making. They have observed and like learned from Piranha Games' mistakes.
So there's not going to be any larger metagame like a war going on. It's more going to be like arena combat.
I kind of asked about that, and I think there's like a hint of a bigger thing going on, but I don't know that it's going to be. I'm not sure exactly what that is. However, did you fill out that form that I sent you?
I have not yet.
Slacker. So fill that out and send it to me, and then soon you will be playing it. Oh, think about that.
Okay.
So anyways, that's our mech news for the evening. But
yeah,
but it just put me in mind of that, though.
Yeah, mechgamejunkie.com has launched, kind of, sort of. It's in a soft launch right now. We're still playing with it.
It's got a really sexy Warhammer on there that I did.
Yeah, it looks nice. So we're going to launch that early next year, fully, big time. And it's going to be awesome. But back to space games.
Yeah.
Now, I definitely want to do a whole show about Klingon Academy, and this show could easily go into the entirety of Klingon Academy.
It almost has.
It kind of has a little bit. A little bit. But it's just – what saddens me about it is that, like – Bridge Commander has a fuck ton of mods for it, you know?
Many mods.
I looked for Klingon Academy mods, didn't find jack. The closest thing I found was a mod for Armada 2 called Klingon Academy 2. And I'm like, what the hell is this? This is not Klingon Academy. This is something different. But it's a shame because the sad thing was Klingon Academy came out at a bad time. It came out even later than Free Space 2, where people cared even less about space games. And it was actually, I didn't know this, it was delayed a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but it was delayed.
Why so?
I don't remember. I was reading the Wikipedia article about it. Hang on, I could probably look it up. But it was delayed a year. It was supposed to come out in 99, and it came out like almost a year later, which is just a shame, because it might have gotten more traction had it come out in 99, mayhaps, but I'm not 100% on that. But it's a shame, because you can tell a lot of people worked on this game, and a lot of people so let's see, that's my video. The video just showed my desktop, but it wasn't my desktop. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Sequel was announced in 97. They tried to use the original Starfleet Academy code, but it was a fucking mess.
Oh, yes.
And it was stuck at one resolution, 640 by 480. Love that.
Nasty.
So they only got that fixed right before it shipped in June of 2000.
Damn.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's just a shame. Almost apparently nearly canceled, like The Secret of Vulcan Fury.
Oh, damn. That would have been actually tragic, because we'd have never known what we had.
We should get Thomas back on. See if he knows about see if he knows about a Klingon Academy here. He can surprise us with. He can regale us with tales of Interplay and 14 Degrees East. Didn't 14 Degrees East also do the Starfleet Command games, or is that like Quicksilver or something?
It was actually Tauldron that did it, but they did have a 14 degrees east logo on there. And I don't know if it was because the rights passed through them or there was actually part of the team that was, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at 14 degrees east on Wikipedia, and it redirected me to Interplay. Like, no, not really what I was looking for here, guys. I know what happened to Interplay. They're a mess. Poor Interplay. But then the upshot is that with this kind of resurgence in space games, there are a decent amount of capship games coming out. We've already talked about a couple on the show. Rogue Galaxy, for example, which isn't super capshippy, but it's more naval and shit than a starfighter game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I mean, it's pirate shippy, right?
Because you have like
broadside mechanic going on and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like pirates. It's kind of like, you know, abstracted naval combat. But that's fine because I think it still works because it definitely doesn't feel like a fighter sim. You know, it does not feel like a fighter game at all, which I like. But we also talked about Void Destroyer, in which you can command cap ships, if you recall. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear something funny about that? Mm. I was like, oh, there's been a bunch of content and stuff added to this game. I should try and see if I can get past this one mission and do a video of it. Nope. Still can't get past the second mission.
Oh, wow.
Even now. let's see. Pulsar, Lost Colony. That's the one where you get to run around and you could actually like interact with your stations and stuff. Remember that one? That one looks really cool. I've actually played that one. Flagship. Have you seen Flagship?
No.
Flagship, they just had a Kickstarter, I think. They might have canceled it. I'm blanking. But, whoops. But, it's basically you're on this bridge and you're commanding your troops and your own ship from like an RTS interface. Mm. But you still have a first-person interface on your bridge.
Oh.
So it's kind of a mix of the two a little bit.
Mm.
So that's good. And then what else we got? Fleet, which is more of an RTS, but looks to have pretty detailed cap ship control. And then, did we have these guys in the podcast, or I think I'm trying to get them on? What was it called? Star Heroes and Space Villains? Do you remember that one?
I think that was the name of it, yeah.
Didn't we have them
on
the show?
We totally did have
them. Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, a long way back. And the game was kind of like middling looking because it was they were very heavy in alpha with it, but it was still quite playable.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of felt star shattery in terms of its combat.
Yeah.
If I recall.
So oh my god. Oh god.
What?
So somebody made a mod for Distant Worlds that is the Warhammer 40K Battle Fleet Gothic.
I'm not surprised.
I was trying to remember there were two games when I was at E3 in 2000. There was Battle Fleet Gothic, which was in development for PC, which I don't think happened at all.
I never heard of that.
I mean, it's like I'm looking at screens from it, right? That are like interface stuff, but I don't think it ever actually made it. And then there was another one, which was Noble Armada, which was Fading Suns.
Oh, did I it, played the fuck out of
oh,
the
it
demo.
Did actually come out?
No, they just released a demo that you can play, and it was a very limited demo, but it had such promise. Because the Fading Suns universe is actually fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a bunch of the role-playing books, and it's just such a dark yet fun universe to exist in.
It's all about swords and lasers.
Swords and lasers and nobles and inquisitors and aliens, and it's got it all. It really does have it all. And Noble Armada was supposed to be the starship game that was a follow-up to Emperor of the Fading Suns. And it never got finished. And to this day, I'm crushed by that still. Because I was so excited about that game. You could probably still find the demo somewhere.
I bet I could.
It's probably out there somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did release a demo. I think shortly after that E3, actually, was when that demo was released.
I'm very surprised that 40K, they have not come out with a Battlefleet Gothic game. I mean, they were trying back then. Why not now?
Explain to me what Battlefleet Gothic is.
Okay, it's Warhammer 40,000 combat with starships, but the Space Marine ships look like giant cathedrals, right?
I've seen like pictures of them on the boxes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I remember I've never actually seen the board game played, but there was a Warhammer Fantasy ship game that I can't remember the name of that Scott at the hobby shop had, and we played the hell out of that thing. It was a lot of fun, actually. Because it played, you know, you had like broadside counters, right? Which was almost like a ruler, right? It was about, you know, like an inch and a half thick, and it had different range bands and colors, right? And you'd stick it out the side of the ship, and that's what you could hit and what range and stuff. So it was all about just like maneuvering the ships so that they could actually hit things, and you know, trying to eyeball a shot, and then you'd lay the ruler down and find out if you were right or not. And, you know, miss a lot. But it was cool, and it had like a cool damage system for the ship, you know, where you'd, and of course, you know, it's being Warhammer Fantasy, there's like wizards on the ships and stuff too, so
what?
You can do bad things. Yeah, it's like, oh, I throw a fireball at your ship.
It's kind of like Jedi Starfighter in that way?
Yeah, exactly that way. Except they're like big sailing ships, right? But the elves had like super fast little sleek ships, and you know, the Empire had like big fat warships and stuff, and yeah, it was interesting. Orcs had, you know, just orc shit. Yeah. It was, you know, very if you could imagine like World of Warhammer orcs with boats, right? Like what kind of boats would they make? It would be like big tusks that were lashed together, and
big
beer barrels.
Big giant fists with cannons coming out the sides.
Well, there was actually a thing. It was like a giant foot, right? It was like the foot of it was like Gork's foot or some shit, and it was a template that would crazy orc shit. But
So I asked some people to try and remember their favorite cap ships, and I got a couple of responses, and they were both the same thing. The mothership from Homeworld, which you never really got to control except for building shit, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm biased and I'm not a big fan of Homeworld.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
By the way, the name of the game was Man of War.
Oh, yeah. Those are those naval games where you got to stand on the deck.
No. I mean, right? the Warhammer game. It was miniatures, right? Little miniature boats.
Oh, no.
It was called Warhammer Man of War. And then they had another one that was Dreadfleet.
Dreadfleet.
Yeah.
No, there was
pirate battles in the.
There wasn't. There were two naval PC games called Man of War.
Yeah.
And the big deal about them is you could stand on the deck while you're fighting your enemy, but you were alone on the deck because there were no other crew. Even though you heard them, you didn't see them. It was kind of weird, but it was nifty.
That's cool. Hey, you know the elephant in the room that we're not talking about is FTL. That's kind of capital ship, right? Because you have multiple crew.
I guess you do have to manage systems and crew.
Yeah.
But they die so fast.
But the way I found that, somebody has a link
here. They die so horribly.
Somebody has a link here. They made a Battlefleet Gothic mod for FTL.
I forgot about it.
It's ridiculous.
No, I've blocked out FTL. That's what's going on. I've blocked out FTL.
Too much trauma, huh?
Way too much trauma. But then I don't know. Then you have to include games like Cosmonautica and stuff like that, right?
Cosmonautica, it's not really a capital ship, right? It's a, you know, but it's got multiple crew and whatever. But yeah, okay, sure. But no.
See, now I think we're stretching it a little.
Yeah,
I think FTL might be the farthest we can go with this particular tangent.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I will allow it because you know it is pretty detailed in that there's you know lack of oxygen and fire you have to deal with, and so yeah, it's pretty detailed, horribly so.
Yep. I wish that there were more games that were like board games, right? For naval combat stuff. Because a lot of these board games, because while we were talking about that, I started like Googling for, you know, the Dreadfleet stuff and the, you know, the Battlefleet Gothic and stuff, and that opened up like a whole rabbit's hole that I've fallen down of miniatures, tabletop, like Starfleet games, like oh god, what is that? I don't even know. it's like crazy how many really cool looking tabletop games there were for that. The one thing that I really, really, can I say really again, really want to play is Strike Vector Tactical as
What's
a
that?
Computer game. It's that one that I showed you. It's the miniatures game that actually tracks like all 6 degrees of freedom of the ships and
Thing looked crazy.
Oh, it's nuts, man! It's borderline unplayable as a board game, right? Because you have to sit for a couple hours and teach yourself how to play the game, and then you can teach somebody else. It's not an easy game to pick up. You can actually go to their website and download like the basic training scenarios for free. Mm. And you don't need a map or anything to play it. You can measure, you know. So, and his advice is you get some candy kisses and put it on the table, and then you try to fly the ship. And if you can fly the ship and run into the candy kisses, you get to eat it. So you kind of incentivize yourself to put a carrot on a stick out there, if you will. I don't know. There's so many really cool rules that were made for these games, and it's like this shit would really translate pretty well, I think, to a computer sim, right? It's like you could kind of real time it a little bit or whatever.
Yeah.
But we were talking about RTS games, right? Like Sins of a Solar Empire is like a lot of capital ship stuff going on.
Yeah.
So Star Trek Armada, of course.
Yeah. And Conquest, Frontier Wars.
Yeah.
Very cap shippy, which is great. Let's see, wasn't there a board game? Starships Unlimited. Did you ever play that one?
Uh-uh.
That's kind of board gamey and 4X-y. It's also quite excellent, and I think it's on sale right now at Matrix for like $10.
That's excellent. Cool. Can you get it on Steam?
No.
Yeah, that's why I don't have it.
It's one of those Matrix. I'm really glad to see Matrix slowly embracing Steam. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I guess they don't like giving them a 30% revenue share or something, right? So,
well, who would? But at the same time, what I'm hoping is they're selling more in volume to make up for that, you know?
I would hope.
That's what I'm hoping.
Like exposure, right? Like I've said before, there's a limited number of places I want to plug my credit card into the internet. I trust Steam, right? And I trust Amazon. That's about it.
Right.
If they would use either one as a payment method, I'd be fine. They'd sell a lot more things to me. But, because basically if they've put it on Steam, I've bought it. That's kind of been how it's been. It's been mostly Slytherin stuff. Slytherin seems a lot more open to that than Matrix.
Well, they're the same pretty much.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it's like they're holding hands. They're very close.
Yeah, they're cuddling.
Yeah.
They're spooning. But like Distant Worlds right now is, I think, on sale for the first time since it came out right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's 17% off or something, but apparently that's the lowest price it's ever been.
Oh, well, that's a massive discount for a Matrix game.
For Distant Worlds? Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, and just Matrix in general, right?
Yeah.
So there's a game, speaking of Steam, that just came on Steam, and it made me immediately think of you. It's this thing called Deadknot. Have you seen it?
I saw on Twitter that the game came out, but I didn't look any deeper than that. I just thought the name was kind of funny.
Okay, so what's interesting about this is it looks like Sentinel Worlds 1. Because
what?
You don't actually see your guys. You see blips on the radar.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, you totally don't see guys. Like, never see your dudes. You see, like, a map of a ship, and there's, like, colored dots that are your guys, and you're like ordering them around the ship. It's really a strange looking game, but
that is crazy.
It took a bold, weird way, and it's getting like mostly positive reviews.
Really?
Yeah, out of 19, there was like 2 that were negative.
I am looking this up right now on my Steam mobile app, because I have one monitor.
There you go. Yeah, it's in the new releases. It just came out. It looks like almost like Space Hulk played on a radar scope.
What? Totally. That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. Let's see. Dead Knot, it's called?
Yes.
I remember that. Let's find it.
It's got character generation like an RPG. It's pretty weird.
Oh, that's why I remember this. It's the same folks that made Zaphaus Diaries. I got a press release about this. Oh, God. DOS24680 already owns it. Of course he does. You slick son of a bitch. I love that man. You know who that is, right?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, he's a YouTuber. I interviewed him a while back. Probably one of the finest strategy game YouTubers I've ever come across. Does like very detailed shit about Distant Worlds and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, oh, he's great. You should look him up. He is I'm looking at this and yeah. This might be my jam.
Oh shit. I just bought it. Why did I do that to myself?
I don't know why you did that to yourself.
I don't know. It's your fault.
Well, how's it my fault? You told me about it.
Blaming you.
I had already seen it already. So, yeah, because I got a press release about it today. That's why I remember it now. I get so many of those. But anyway, what were we talking about?
Capital ships. Oh, yeah.
Capital ships. I'm kind of glad there are more capital ship games coming out. But, I mean, one thing I think a game like Star Trek Online could have excelled at and has completely failed at is like putting you in charge of a capital ship and putting you in this universe where you have Starfleet like missions, like go explore here, do this diplomatic thing there, or you know, help, you know, this colony here, you know?
Yeah.
And there's none of that. None of that at all. It's all explore this very linear place, do this away mission. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Because there's so much potential there, and it could have been a great cap ship game, but it's nothing of the sort. And it's just it's just really depressing.
Yeah.
Really, really fucking depressing.
So, I don't know. What's something else that's happening?
Something
else
that's happening?
In the cap ships, yeah. Like, we talked about, let's see, Rogue Galaxy. Did we mention Void Destroyer? Or did we not?
Yeah, okay. We mentioned Void Destroyer. I don't think we. What the hell's the name of that one? The something. Oh my god, my brain.
Oh yeah,
there's another one coming out. There's another one coming out that I can't remember the name of. It was Kickstartered, and I supported it, and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh,
the Mandate. The Mandate.
Oh yeah, Mandate. Right. Yeah, in fact, that one. I pinged Garrett. Earlier today on Twitter.
Oh.
And, or not Twitter, Skype. Because I saw he was on. He's always on. But, yeah, so I was just like, hey, you know, we're doing the cap ship show. And, you know, just to see if he had anything to say or whatever. And I wanted to check in on, like, where is Mandate at? Like,
They sent out an update for it, like, a week or two ago. So
Do they have anything to actually show yet? Because they were in art asset development when we talked.
Still mostly concept art, from what I recall at this point.
They need to start snapping them Legos together.
Yeah, like
I want something to play.
I know, and the sad thing is, I would have loved a game like Bridge Commander or something if it gave me more of a dynamic universe to play in. I think that's what a lot of these cap ship games miss, is that, you know, when you're controlling this big battleship, you want more. You know, you want more dynamic choices. And again, that's where Klingon Academy succeeds so brilliantly, because a mission will change in the middle of it where, oh, this guy needs help. Here's a distress call. You know, go help him and stuff like that. And, oh, here's a convoy I can't take care of. Hey, Strike Force, can you handle these guys? It's much more dynamic.
Yeah.
It feels more alive, you know? And so many – I mean, I kind of get not – be having that kind of universe in a fighter game, because you're a much tinier cog.
Yeah.
You know, so you're much more focused. You're in much smaller box. You know, this is my one little mission that I have to take care of. That's my one target, you know, blah, blah, blah. But with a capital ship, you have just – you should have a larger playing field. And that's where I think Independence War II and Klingon Academy especially just succeed so brilliantly.
Yeah.
Is because they give you these just canvases to play with rather than – and I mean Klingon Academy is kind of linear, but there's also choice in there and it feels expansive. They do a good job of like masking how linear it is by making it feel like – making the missions feel dynamic as they change around you. So even though it is linear, it still feels alive. And that's I think, will probably be the mark of an exceptional capship game, is putting you in this vibrant universe where you feel like you're an actual captain.
Mm.
You know? But so many games just don't do that.
So
that's such a shame.
Yep. So I think I'm capped out.
Yeah, we kind of have exhausted this topic. So folks, folks, next week is the launch of Elite Dangerous. And we're going to have a launch party where we're going to get people together.
Is this going to be like a pajama party? Like we're up all night?
Exactly. We're going to have a little launch party. We're going to try and get players and stuff together on the server and play around. And because there's no grouping yet. So that kind of sucks. They're working on it, but it's not there yet. Which
So we're all going to try to meet somewhere.
I'm going to try. I'm going to post about it on the site. I'm going to try and say, like, guys, we're meeting in at Chango Dock. I Buddhist. Go. You know, that's where we're going to meet next week at 7 p.m. Go to I Buddhist. And bring your Sidewinder or your Eagle, whatever you have. And maybe we'll go try and find some trouble. I don't know. But that's probably one of the most exciting bits of news this entire year. In this particular genre, is that Elite Dangerous is coming out.
That is pretty exciting. I'm excited.
No one is more surprised than me, because when that Kickstarter first hit, I thought it was just a lame cash grab. You know, they had nothing to show. They didn't have video. Remember that? They didn't have any video.
Yeah, they had nothing. They were just like, yeah, we're going to make this thing. And it was like,
It came hot on the heels of Star Citizen's Kickstarter. And so, like, really, guys? Really, you're going to try and cash in on this? But no, things have been reversed now. Because I tried playing the Star Citizen thing the other day. Not that great.
No, still not there, huh?
I tried doing a race. I tried connecting with people, and it wouldn't work. It was very sad. And the combat still feels very like – the combat feels like my fighter is nailed down to the center of a plate. And whenever I turn, someone takes the back of the fighter and goes, woo! And it spins around on the plate. You know the spinning plate trick where the guy...
So you're saying it's like what Commander felt like flying a desk.
Okay, it feels like you're flying a desk that's stuck to a plate that someone is doing the plate balancing trick on.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about? Remember like in the old days in the Gong Show and all that shit where they'd have the guy with the stick and the plate? And
he'd
bounce like totally. It feels like you're on that plate in a fighter.
Not good. It's still a circle strafing game.
And it feels like that right now. And someone's probably going to tell me how I didn't use one system or the other to make it feel better and blah, blah, blah. But whatever. If it doesn't feel that great with a HOTUS or a gamepad, it's not me. Okay? I tried multiple ways to play this game. None of it felt right. Whereas Elite Dangerous... Oh god, that thing is sexy smooth. That thing just feels, you know that sound when you dock, that ka-chung.
Yeah,
it's just that's sex right there. That is a ship orgasm right there. Just ka-ching.
It's not how it works in my house, but if that's what works for you, then okay.
Sorry, I got a little graphic there, folks. But seriously, you only have. As you listen to this, you only have a few days left to pre-order Elite Dangerous. And if you do pre-order Elite Dangerous, you get an extra ship and a bunch of other goodies. And if you don't pre-order and you just buy after the fact, you just start with the Sidewinder, which isn't a bad ship. But you also get a free Eagle, or a Freegal, as they're calling it, if you pre-order. So you folks should pre-order, because it really is that astounding. And sure, you're flying just from one box to another, and there really isn't that much interconnectedness between people right now. But that's going to come.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't an MMO. This is Elite.
I have another question for you, sir.
Sure.
Other games that have come out recently.
Yeah.
So I saw that Space Salvager has finally released.
Yeah, I did a little video of it.
You have it. So what do you think now that it's done? Is it different than it was when we played it?
Really? No, it's different, and you get a choice of different ships to start with. And the combat feels a little better. But and apparently he's done more since I played it. Like, he's apparently. Yeah.
But it's like, if I liked it before, I'll like it now. And if I didn't like it before,
if you liked it before, you'll like it now. So that just came out recently. That's pretty good. Kinetic Void. I think we talked about this. Just came out of early access.
That was not good.
It's not good. And I did a video review of it, and I got the developer kind of tried to blame me for how bad his game is or their game is, because apparently it has a tutorial that's supposed to fire, but it didn't. Mm. So when I was playing it, so I couldn't figure out how to dock, and I didn't know what missions did, where to get them, what to do it.
Have you heard back from the Celestial Command guys?
I just got my key maybe an hour ago.
Really?
Yeah, I just got one.
Dang.
So I will be playing with that this week.
Only one, huh? They don't love me.
Here's the thing, Jim. I would include you more in these emails if you actually read your email.
I do. Hold on. Let me look at my email.
No, you don't. You read your email. I have bugged you many times. Read your email. It's like, email.
I have spam folder that you go into, I think.
Oh, well, that's great.
That might be why.
That might explain some things.
This explains it all.
Yeah, I will definitely include you more in emails.
Of times I see that stuff and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's for Brian, and I don't like read your stuff, right?
Well, the thing is, it's our podcast.
Okay.
So, do you want to be? I will include you.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be talking about this on the podcast.
No, this is right developmental. Now. We're doing this in public.
Okay.
We're developing.
Good. We shouldn't do this in public.
Okay.
But no, I will definitely include you now from now on. Okay. I'll definitely CC.
Now I don't feel excluded.
No, I never meant to. It's just you.
Yes, you did.
I didn't think you read your email. I didn't. You said you didn't read your email. Told me.
Email is so 2000 something.
Oh, it's not. Dude.
It's all about the SMS now.
No, it's still the best way to get. It's still the best way to get in touch with developers.
I know.
You don't want to hit people up on Twitter.
I know, dude. And like the whole PR thing, right? Which has been very interesting. My book will be out. And please donate to my Patreon. It's been very interesting because in game development, even to get a hold of the people at the magazines or websites or whatever they call them these days, it's email, right? And you just hope that you will be seen in the giant pile of email that they get. It feels kind of like, you know, yelling into a dark room and hoping that somebody hears you. It's tough.
That is the thing.
Not like an IM, you know, where you send it and then you see like the person's typing back or whatever. It's just like, I sent you that, you know, like a week ago. Did you ever get it? Oh yeah, we're real busy. It's the holidays, man.
I get a lot of press releases for Space Game Junkie for games that
are not space,
are not in the wheelhouse at all. And so if I have time, I will usually write back and go, I'm sorry I can't cover this because it's not in our wheelhouse, but good luck. Because, you know, someone took the time to write that. And so you should have the common courtesy to write back and go, thank you for writing me, but I'm not going to cover this.
Yeah.
You know, but I appreciate you getting in touch with me. So I understand it's not an easy gig. I have found when I'm emailing a developer directly, they'll usually get back to me if I'm very specific about, I run a space game site, your game is space, here's what we can do for you. You know, let's talk. You know, and I usually get a response. But I can understand if you're on the opposite side and you're emailing media people. And sometimes they don't have time. Sometimes they just don't want to. Sometimes I don't reply to people because I don't have time. But I will if I can.
Yeah.
But I can understand how tough it is. You know, I mean,
it's very difficult, and it's strange and frustrating, right? Like it, as press, if you go to the developer, right?
Yeah.
Then man, they're on it, right? Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And you know, which has been my experience. Like any time that I ever go to a developer, you know, it's just like they're ready to jump up and hug you because, oh, thank God somebody's paying attention. And now I understand why. Because being on the other side, it's just like, hey guys, game over here, hey, you know,
right.
And it's just, wow, it's tough. So honestly, and the whole reason that I got into this thing is so that I can bring it back home here and kind of explain, you know, because we deal with so many indie devs that I wanted to be able to say, you know, hey, this is, I kind of know where you're at. And this is what worked for me and what didn't. And I can also talk to a lot of other indie devs and be like, hey, you know, we're swimming in the same pond. What the hell are you doing? Who are you talking to? And, oh, I saw you got covered here. How did you do that? Right. And they're kind of receptive to talking like that. Honest to God, I think what needs to happen is like an indie game developers union where all of these people get together and they decide like, okay, Joe put a game on Greenlight. Let's all go greenlight it. You know, it'll be like the indie games mafia. Like we just travel in a pack each other. And
do indie gamers have time? Do indie game developers have time?
Yeah.
If
it was a coordinated effort at all, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. How long does it take to go to Steam and click a damn green light?
I suppose.
You know, and if it's like a mutual, it's a mutual back scratching thing, right? Like if we had, you would have no idea how many indie game developers there are out there. I would say probably 1 in 10 people in the world right now is an indie game developer from looking at my Twitter stream. It's pretty
there are
crazy.
Quite a few of them.
Yeah. And a lot of them are quite good, you know, and it, I mean, it's stuff that's not in our wheelhouse or whatever, but there's one girl, she's making it's like a farming sim. It got greenlit the other day. But it's like you play as like a little Brussels sprout and run around with an axe, chop down trees.
What?
It's almost like, did you ever play Animal Crossing?
No, I know of it.
Okay,
but I've never
it's like Animal Crossing, but you're a Brussels sprout, and
you're
like planting seeds and doing whatever. Yeah, and then there's another game that is also a farming game. There's nothing playable for it yet, but it's Stardew Valley that the guy that made Terraria is making, and it might not be specifically him, but it's his company. It's in the, you know, in the website. And if you could imagine Terraria as a farming game, then yeah, it's kind of it's in that weird mix between like Animal Crossing and what the heck was that game? There's a whole series of them on the Nintendo. My wife's got a bunch of them. I can't think of the name of the series, but anyway, it's like one of those kind of things. It's weird. Like there's games out there that are super high quality that are just like not things in our wheelhouse, so we never see them. But now that I've got my Twitter tweaked so that I see everything that, you know, says indie dev in it or whatever, it's just crazy. It's like 100 tweets a minute flying up the screen. I can't read it all.
Yeah, I don't see how anyone could. I've been trying to make my Twitter more organized, and it's so fucking difficult.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but. But anyway, yeah, that's where I'm at.
How do you find out what titles have been greenlit?
Well, I happened to be watching Twitter whenever this all went down.
Because Steam used to make announcements about when something was...
Well,
like,
they do
when a bunch
still,
of...
like once a month, they'll be like, here's 1,000 games we just greenlit. Or whatever, you know, it's a digest format.
Well, no, here's the thing, I'm looking at Steam Greenlight right now, and the last announcement they have about Greenlight Games is in August. I'm not even kidding.
Really? It's been a while. Well, they were busy with that sale and counting all my money.
Well, no, here's the thing, too. I see on Twitter that people say they were greenlit. I'm like, how do you know? I don't.
I probably wouldn't even know if my game got greenlit. That's how bad it is. Believe me, I'd know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's wow. Although anyway. I have seen... In following some of the indie stuff, I have seen some hilariously bad games. Like, if I was in, I could make a career of making fun of people's games. Like, really, there's some things out there that's just like, wow. But what's weird is, like, even the worst of that stuff gets a following. They get some.
Oh yeah.
Right. So,
have you ever seen your Kickstarter sucks? It's a Tumblr.
No, but I'm going there right now.
It's great. It's great. They do have games on there sometimes, but it's a lot of just the most random crap, and it's great. It's so funny.
I was thinking about running a Kickstarter, right? Like, if I set the bar kind of high, like about 20 million, I wonder if Kickstarter would even do that. Like, just let me start a Kickstarter for an absurd amount of money that can't possibly happen, just for the media attention. Just to be like, this guy started a Kickstarter for like $20 million. What might, you know, what are they doing? that's like the only way I'm gonna ever get like on the front page of Polygon or anything. Just be like, I've like my top tier thing will be like, we'll send like midget strippers to your house or something. You know, if you donate at the $5,000 tier. We'll ship in space midgets, or I don't know. I'm sorry to little people that are out there. I don't mean to make fun of you, but you know, Gidget the midget, she's a real thing. And
what?
I could. You don't know Gidget?
I know the movie with Sally Field.
Is it Gidget or Bridget? Now I got to Google this. I don't want to Google this. It's gonna be
Gidget was a movie with Sally Field that I believe turned into a TV show eventually. A short, I don't think it was a very long TV show because it's Sally Field and she's probably expensive.
Oh, yeah, it's Bridget the Midget, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not clicking on that link. Results was enough. The only reason that I know that that's legit is because one of the adult clubs here in town had a big marquee on the front of the thing, like down at the Foxy Mama, right? It was like, Bridget the Midget live. And my wife's like, what?
Yeah, what the hell? What?
We debated stopping, but nah, we had things to do.
Bad.
Oh, good times. All right.
So anyway, folks, we should wrap this up. So that was a decent talk on cap ships. Again, folks, please track down a copy of Klingon Academy. It is really an exceptional game. It's the manual alone, which is this massive spiral bound. I don't even know how many pages is it.
It was large. I haven't seen mine for, you know, 50
years. It's 288 pages. I'm holding it in my hand right now. My manual. I'm holding my manual in my hand right now. And, you sick fucks. And it's 288 pages. Some of that has notes at the end, but there is a lot of information here. It's not the best manual, but it's really a good read. So if you just pick it up for the manual, but I mean, if you like Star Trek at all, it's good canon stuff, especially if you like Star Trek VI, which is my favorite movie. So maybe that's why I liked it too. Cause I like six more than two. I know I'm weird.
Six is four more than two actually.
Well, yes, but I like the murder mystery aspect of six. Even though two had slightly better, like, naval hornblowery stuff. Anyway, so yeah, folks, next week we are going to be all about Elite Dangerous. Hopefully it'll work because it's going to be the launch day. And hopefully it'll...
It better damn work.
Hopefully the servers won't die.
They don't get DDoSed on launch day or...
Yeah, or else we'll have a show just bitching about how Elite Dangerous isn't working all night. But folks, thank you for, we started late tonight because we were both having internet issues, me especially. So, thank you for listening and, we'll see you next time. Have a good night, everyone. Bye bye.